Hey there, welcome to the High Five Podcast. Each episode, we count down our top five favorites in a different category, from movies and music to the totally random. Get ready to laugh and maybe even yell at our picks. Let's get into this week's High Five.
So I don't know if it means that we're prescient or what, but all the Coldplay conversation happened. And now it's in the national conversation. And I have to say, it's a real hell of a way to be the spouse sitting at home and realizing that your husband is out there and discovering at that moment that he's a Coldplay fan. How embarrassing. I mean, it is so embarrassing. So cringe.
But I'm now over it. Like, the first day was funny, and but then I start reading like people talking about how this affects his family, and it just makes me feel sad now. So I'm over all the memes, even though I keep seeing them.
Well, and I feel like we need to have the conversation of like, why do they have to have Jumbotron kiss cam bullshit anyways, right?
Yeah, it's always been kind of a weird thing, forcing people into kissing that they might not even be together.
Right.
Was it a kiss cam thing? I thought it was it just was. The one thing that I saw before, it was just he was like, I just want to meet some of the people in the audience and like would kind of put a spotlight on him.
Yeah, I guess I didn't see or hear what Chris Martin said, but it was billed as a kiss cam to me in the articles.
I know what this is. So he apparently has something called the Jumbotron song. And so this travels with him from show to show. It's not unique to the venue.
Yeah.
And so
you're saying this was bound to happen eventually?
Probably, right? Yeah. I mean, honestly, would it have even gone viral had they not reacted so strongly?
It was the worst way to react. Oh, my goodness.
So
hide yourself. It's already too late.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I mean, it's pretty ballsy to be doing that when you're, I mean, I wouldn't say they're famous, but they're pretty high profile. I mean, a CEO and a head of HR, that's higher up there, you know? You kind of maybe not want to do that in public around 45, 50,000 people.
Yeah.
There might be an employee or two.
I agree. No one should go to a Coldplay concert around other people.
That's the moral of the story.
That's totally the moral of the story. Avoid a Coldplay concert.
No.
Yeah.
I disagree, but I see where you're coming from, Rob. And, you know, I like Coldplay a lot. I've seen them in concert at least twice. And they're fun. But
well, and the other way that this podcast was prescient last week was because 2 days after I mentioned my friend Ann Doyle's song, my former book club all got together for dinner on Sunday last night.
Nice.
And I hadn't seen Anne in forever, it was a year, right? And so I just thought, well, okay, that's two things. I'm wondering what the third thing from Misheard Karaoke lyrics is going to be to come true.
Yeah, because things happen in threes, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that was a good episode. What was kind of moving on, Rob? What was the, tell me the backstory of your relationship with the lady who does the Superman YouTube channel.
Oh yeah. So like last Wednesday, my friend has been running for the last 6-7 years now, kind of an Instagram YouTube channel. On YouTube, she is the Silver-Haired Bronze Age Babe, is her channel's name. She just posts a lot about comic books, comics of her era. The Bronze Age is like given, you know, it's like the 70s. Silver Age tends to be defined as 1956 through the 70s. So she has a lot of comic books there. She also reads a lot of modern comic books. Sarah is one of my friends from a book club that I was a part of for 17 years. She was actually one of the organizers, which is why It lasted for 17 years because she's very well organized. And it is just a channel that I haven't appeared on in a number of years. But when she saw the Superman movie, we had to get together and discuss it. So we decided, why not record it and share it with the internet?
Yeah, that was really cool. How long was the whole thing? It was maybe like an hour, 45
It was about
minutes?
an hour, you know. And
Yeah.
this is the thing: like, if you were to give me, if you were to say, you have 1 hour to talk about a subject of your expertise with no
Yes.
notes, DC Comics and theater would probably be right up there.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
No, that's cool. I like it. I think I tuned in for maybe the last 15 or 20 minutes. Do you remember?
Oh, I thought you were there for quite a bit, like for the last
Okay.
half hour or so. But
Well, yeah.
she also interviewed our mutual friend Todd, who owns Secret Crisis
Oh,
Comics
yeah.
in Chelsea, Michigan.
I did not
So
know that.
that's a video on her channel where Todd is there, and they're talking about the comic shop experience and what have you. So,
I'll have to
yeah.
find one of those.
Anyways, yeah.
Cool. But anyway, that's not why we're here. We're here with the High Five Podcast, the show where we give you our five favorites on a new topic every episode. I'm Jay, and I'm joined, as always, by Rob and Caleb. How's it going, guys?
Going great.
So last week we did misheard song lyrics, and we've had some feedback. I'm not sure if you guys have heard anything.
No.
Because you're not on social media, but
Thank God.
a couple. Do you want to hear
Right.
what people said were their misheard lyrics?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
So Skip is a guy I work with. He commented that "Better Man" was one from Pearl Jam that he misheard all the time. "Tiny Dancer," obviously, we talked about, and then anything by the Rolling Stones. And
Nice.
then,
Those are, yeah, those are pretty understandable.
I thought those were good ones. And my sister-in-law Kaylee said, "Don't go Jason Waterfalls." Now she was 10 years old, but when she was a kid, she was convinced that Jason was leaving to go somewhere. Don't go Jason Waterfalls.
That's a good name. That's a good name for a
But
person.
if you're 10 years old, it's understandable. So it's a funny one.
Another body lying cold in the gutter.
And then my mother-in-law Laura said the shot to the heart, which that must have been where I got that one from. I could have just adopted that one from one of her kids, because that was one that had come up by, I think it was Katie's brother Alex. So, but anyway, those were the people that commented. So there's your shout out, guys. But anyway, this week Caleb wants to get us to be nostalgic. And so we're going to be talking about music albums that we owned as kids. So whether they were gifted to us, bought with birthday money, or burned from a friend's older sibling's collection, these were the CDs or tapes that helped shape our music taste and probably made us feel way cooler than we were.
Oh, you youngins, I have some vinyl on here. Real
Nice.
quickly,
I love it.
I wanted to know, like, where are we defining the age range? Because I'm pretty much going in chronological order as opposed to like my top five as a
Yeah.
ranking.
I
So.
mean, I think you could take it however you want, because like music hits us all at different points in life. So like I wasn't big into like having my own collection of music until I was probably 12, 11, 12 years old. And then all the way up until when I turned 18. So that's how I'm classifying it, is the five most impactful, memorable albums that I had during that window of
I'm
time.
cutting it off at 14 because I
And
feel
that's
like
fine.
anything 15 and on is like music I still listen to.
Sure.
So.
And I
Sure.
mean, that is true. But I didn't. So I did go up to 18, but I am, those are not my favorites anyway, the ones that broke in during that phase, because that was like spoiler alert, that was my rap phase. So, I'm not super like I don't look back at some of those as very like, listenable in my house and favorite of mine, looking back. So anyway.
Yeah.
I had one thing that came up. It was a number or a number of my albums came from when I was part of the Columbia House CD Club. Did you guys get involved in that?
I did not. Nope. That was not
Or
I
BMG?
think I did. Yeah, I think I might have done both. None of my choices come from that because I think when I did that, like those were albums that I pretty much kept all the way up until like maybe I was 32 years old and I got tired of moving CDs.
Got
Got it. So
it.
I just put them all on my iTunes
Yeah.
and never looked back. So I don't own any physical media
Yeah, I don't.
anymore.
If I do, they're just like ones that I got for going to a concert where they give you a free CD or something. Or
Yeah.
if like you saw like a small band or whatever, you got a CD. But yeah, but I just got some laughs thinking about all the ways that I listened to music as a kid and growing up. And
Right.
that was one of them that came up. Was like, oh yeah, that's one I got when I got Columbia House, and then my mom made me send it back because she didn't know I signed up for this subscription service. So that was funny, funny story.
How old were you when you had the subscription service?
I was probably like 13, 14. I was too young.
Okay.
Yeah. Somehow I was able to,
Steal
because
a
I
credit
don't,
card or something.
you didn't need to have a
Yeah.
credit
No, I
card.
know. Yeah, you could pay with, I think you pay with cash, right? If I remember right.
No, they would just send them to you and send a bill.
Oh, is that
It
how
was
that went? I
like
can
it was
remember.
the sort of thing that like if you sent a dollar or it was might even been like a penny or something like that, they were just getting a commitment from you, and that was apparently like, binding or
Good
whatever.
enough.
Yeah, that they could come after you for sending you CDs because you gave them a penny.
You
It
know,
was a
it's funny. I
scam.
don't remember any aspect of that.
And maybe it's just because I was, because that was like in the, I would say 93, 94 era. That's when I was getting in trouble with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember how I paid for them. Did I pay for them? Is there an
You might
outstanding
not have.
warrant for my.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of
Oh,
people just
Lord.
didn't, and I think maybe we were just scared into sending them back or something because they sent this bill.
Yeah.
I seem to remember a lot of people just did that, where they just took the CDs and didn't send money
Didn't pay the
back.
bills.
Interesting. I wonder how much that was prosecuted. So yeah, I'd say let's jump into it. We've talked about music and how it, where we're drawing from. Caleb, did you say when yours was? Yours was pretty much your whole childhood.
Yeah, so basically, I think the latest album I would have been 10. I
Okay.
would have been 10. So yeah, 10 was kind of my cutoff. And so a couple of mine aren't necessary. So I kind of fudged the rules a little bit. A couple of mine I didn't actually own the
Okay.
CDs, but they were ones I heard all the time or listened to or meant a lot to me,
Sure.
kind of growing up.
That's all
So
right. That's all right.
someone
Cool.
in my family owned them. How about that?
Yeah. And I'll mention a couple of those too that would have made my list if they had been mine, but yeah. Cool. Well, since this is your topic, Caleb, do you
Yeah.
want to start off with oh yeah,
Yep.
and I was thinking when we do it, make sure, and I think we will, mention what medium it was, whether it was cassette, vinyl, or CD or whatever, just for kicks. So
Yep. Yep. So my first one, again, this is one that I did not own, but I felt like I owned it because it played in my house all of the time. I think originally my mom had it on tape and then she bought it later on in CDs when CDs were the newer, bigger thing. And it is Amy Grant, House of Love. Sometimes life is funny.
When the lights are coming on, the house of love.
So I grew up in a fairly conservative household. All we listened to, all my mom listened to,
I feel
or
like
put
Amy
on
Grant
was
was a
Christian
little pop though too. But I guess
She
she
a little
was.
bit.
That
She
was that a
crossed
Christian
over.
album or was that her pop album?
That was I mean, it was pop-ish, I guess, but still talks about Jesus and all that fun stuff.
Okay.
Amy Grant was about as secular as my mom got for the most part. So
Yeah, it was edgy.
yeah, I mean, we listened to Amy Grant, all of her CDs, but I think this one more than any other one. I think I could still probably remember all of the words to Lucky One.
Oh yeah.
Whatever it takes. There are so many that my heard over and over and over coming from our living room speakers. I feel like I would come home and it was playing, or Saturday mornings for sure. It seemed to be playing when my mom was cleaning or whatever. But yeah, Amy Grant. Again, I didn't own it, but it me I mean,
Oh
I
yeah.
heard that album so much. So
Yeah, we had that
do
as
you
well.
still listen to it today? Like, do you still
No.
have it? Okay.
Nope, I haven't heard Amy Grant in. Well, I mean, I listen every now and again just because it's funny, like I'll throw on a song here or
Remember when I
there,
liked this?
just to, I never liked Amy Grant. It was impactful because it was constantly in my
Sure.
ears.
Yep.
And it just reminds me of my childhood, reminds me of growing up. If I one of those songs comes on, it just, those flood of memories kind of comes back.
So
So.
your top five is essentially going to be your top five albums that remind you of your childhood.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's a cool way to go with it.
Yeah. I have to say, like, because also when you have like the cassette era or the CD era, like a lot of times you listen to what was in your car, right?
Yeah.
And so for my mom, like I didn't put this as one of my five, but like she had the Simon and Garfunkel's Greatest Hits cassette.
I do
Oh,
love
and
me some
I actually
Simon
spent quite a
Garfunkel.
bit of time this weekend listening to
Yes.
Simon and Garfunkel, and
Yeah.
I love them.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
I love
I
them.
just yeah. It's so it's good. It's especially now that my mom is gone, like I kind of like it's a nice way to kind of like
Yeah,
while I'm cleaning the
remember.
house, think about her. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. All right, so that was your number f
Five.
or your five. Why don't you go with your number five?
All right, my number five. I didn't own this, but it was in the house. It probably came from siblings of mine. but I think it was the first record that I remember being able to put in a record player and drop the needle. Because this record was released in 1979, which is what, that's when I was born. So it is. I can't even believe I'm going to share this. So July 1979, the vinyl, it is Walt Disney Records, Mickey Mouse Disco.
Oh, I love it.
Nice.
My grandma had it.
It
Yes.
has Mickey Mouse and they're discoing, and it is
Yes.
like the first song is Disco Mickey Mouse. I don't
Yes.
really remember a lot of these, but like I do remember Zip Dee Dee
Oh,
Dah and It's a Small World and
yeah.
Macho Duck. Macho Duck
Yep.
would be like Macho Man. It's basically these Disney songs done in the era of disco, and that is like the earliest one I remember. I was really trying to think back, like what was the very first thing I remember seeing, and I think it was because I think my siblings taught me how to like set up a record player, and God help anyone. I wish I could find. I gotta find some of the YouTube clips because I'm like I don't even think I would know what it sounds like, but I have a feeling that if I heard it, I'd be fl suddenly
Oh
flooded
yeah.
back to like
Yeah,
oh or
sure.
four or
For
five years
sure.
old. Yeah.
Yep,
Was
that's
it one that
awesome.
was played on like a kid's record player, or was it like a legit, like an actual full-size record album?
Oh, you
Record.
know, that's a good question.
I think it was a record.
I think it was a real record.
Because I
The one
remember
that
we
I know
had a
was.
little like was I think it was Play School. It was like blue and yellow, like
Oh
little kid
yeah.
record player. Do you remember
Oh
those?
yeah. Yeah, but
Those
they weren't really
physical.
like you had to
They didn't
crank
play.
them or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't
Yeah,
really crank.
that's why I didn't
Yeah.
know if it was something like that where you would
No,
actually put
this
on,
was
but yours was
actual
like legit
records.
record. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, actual
This
songs.
is a proper record.
Got it. Yep.
In fact, I've seen like a reproduction of it recently.
I don't know if you can't somehow glue that on to my
Okay. Yeah.
image
I'll find
instead of the
a.
best doughboys.
I think I can figure that out. Yeah. Cool. That's a good number five. I like it. I mean, I'm a Disney guy, so.
Yeah,
But.
right.
So anyway. My number five, and I have to tell it this way, is I thought it was Michael Jackson Dangerous, on cassette. I actually first bought the Michael Jackson Black or White single, and I liked it so much that I bought the full album. But anyway, I thought my number five was that. This is not that. It was Dr. Dre, The Chronic.
To the folks, Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door, ready to make an entrance, so back on up, cause you know we're about to rip shit up.
On CD, it was one of my first CDs that I owned when I was like 13, 14 years old. I first heard it when my older cousin Mikey had it and he played it for me. I think he even might have let me borrow it or even, at least put it in my CD player for 5 minutes. And it was the first time I heard gangster rap that I liked. Basically, the first time I heard rap that I liked. And it was just like, just sounded so cool to me. And something about, just the fact that I knew that my parents were gonna be so mad if I was listening to this. So that was kind of the start of my gangster rap career.
All right, what age is this for you?
So like, yeah, 12, 13, 14
Okay.
in that
Okay.
era. Yep.
Huh.
So,
How you got away with listening to gangster rap in your conservative household is
yeah,
mind-blowing to me.
I know. I was the youngest. Yeah, my parents let me get away with murder.
Oh yeah, it would have never happened.
Yeah, I don't
My
know
mom
why.
looked at all of the albums and covers and looked at the lyrics, and if she didn't like anything, she'd get rid of a CD.
Yeah, I don't know why my parents didn't. I'll have to ask them that sometime, whether or not they regret
Every now and again, we could sneak one through, but
it. Yep, so that was my number five, Dr. Dre the Chronic. I have it on vinyl and I still love playing it. So anyway. Yep. Oh, also the thing about this was when Snoop Dogg was introduced too. So like there's Nothing But a G Thing is on that. And so that's the first time that you really hear Snoop Dogg sing. And yeah, it was just a funny, like just over the top, all the swear words. They had like these cinematic like stories in between songs, and it was just bad. And it was the first time I heard gangster rap and liked it. So that's it, my number
nice.
five.
Right. So my number four, this is the very first CD I ever bought with my own money. I
I
think
have one of those.
it was either birthday money or Christmas money. I don't remember. But I would have been, so this would have been, I would have been 10 when this album came out. And it is the Verve Pipe Villains.
Ooh.
For the life of me, I cannot remember what made us think that we were wise and we never compromised. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen.
I loved the freshman song, and I
Yep.
had needed to have that entire album. And it was the very first one that I could buy. Well, there were other ones that I wanted to buy, but it was one of the few that my mom would let me buy and I really liked. So it was the first one. I actually bought two at the exact same time. It was the Verve Pipe Villain and it was the Wallflowers, which were
Oh
both
yeah.
pretty at the same time. So
Wallflowers was big.
yeah. So those that was the first CD I ever remember using my own money to purchase. So
Was it because they were also kind of a local band, being from
Yeah.
Lansing, Michigan?
To be honest,
I think
I
so.
didn't know that it was a local band at that time. I had no idea.
So
I mean,
in
they had
Grand
national
Haven,
airplay. Yeah.
Right.
in Grand Haven, it was, I was gonna say that album was very hard to find in Meijer. Like if it was there, you would buy it just because you knew someone who needed it. Because they were a local band. Brian Vander Ark is from Grand Rapids, isn't he?
Like somewhere in West Michigan. I'm not exactly sure where. But actually, no, you know what? I think he's from Jenison.
Right. I consider that Grand Rapids.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. So, like, I was 17 then. So, like, that's actually, like, not in my. That was a song I listened to. And the Wallflowers, you know, One Headlight. You know, is still a beautiful song. Three Marlenas. I mean, you know, a lot of great songs, but that was all like in definitely like my high school and college era. Yep. And so, like I said, I still listen to the Wallflowers and Jacob Dylan sometimes.
Oh yeah. Jacob Dylan. Yep.
I like Jacob Dylan's solo stuff's really good.
Yeah. He's always been good.
I don't know if I've ever actually listened to it, but yeah, that's a solid choice, the Vertpipe. So you bought the Vertpipe CD with your own money, and then you bought it with the Wildflowers the same day? Like you go up to the cash register.
I got both.
Remember
it. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I remember it. I remember holding those. Remember the plastic that was wrapped around the final CD? So I remember holding both of them in my hand. Yep, and flipping them back and forth. I can remember to this
day. That my friends wouldn't steal it.
Yeah, exactly.
Those were my friends. Oh my gosh.
My I can't remember, though, if I got it at Meijer or if I got it at Best Buy, but I think I got it at Meijer.
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
I don't know why. Like, I loved my friends as a kid, but, like, there was no reason I should have been hanging out with them. Like, I was just this I was just this goody-two-shoes kid that I just liked to do fun stuff. It didn't need to be illegal, but they sure liked to do illegal stuff. So, anyway, That was good. So that was your number
four.
What was your number four? So,
yep.
Rob, what was your number four?
All right. So imagine, if you will.
I will.
A group of teenagers, and they have a band where they get together and they sing contemporary pop songs. You might be thinking I'm talking about Glee. But I ask you to rewind all the way back to 1984, 1985, 1986. Kids Incorporated. I had two of their vital records. I had one that came out in 1984 that was just called Kids Incorporated.
Yep.
It included the hits like Cruel Summer, I'm So Excited, Let's Hear It for the Boy, Jump, Against All Odds, Holding
Those
Out for a
Hero. Compilations are bangers. Right.
Well, but no, this is like the Glee equivalent, right? Like these are like the band is singing. So this is like this one actor that they had that they recast with another actor later. But Martika, who later on in the 80s, she has the song Toy Soldiers. Stacey Ferguson, better otherwise known as Fergie, otherwise known as the Black Eyed Peas.
Yes.
Renee Sands and Rashawn Patterson.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I had Kids Incorporated 1984 album, and then I had Kids Incorporated the chart hits from 1985 that included Rhythm of the Night, Would I Lie to You, The Greatest Love of All, Karma Chameleon, Thunder Road,
That's awesome.
Every Breath You Take. I just did like again, I just, you know, the theme song is infectious. I think one night I was singing it aloud in the bar with somebody else, my friend Julie, who knew what Kids Incorporated was. Now, it's apparently aired on syndication, but I seem to recall it being on the Disney Channel at a various point in the 80s. And so I think that's where I was exposed to it. But yeah, so my number four is...
that's a good one.
On vinyl, Kids Incorporated.
Nice. All right. My number four is in the same realm. I promise after this I get cleaner, okay, guys? But my number four is Tupac, All Eyes on Me.
I won't deny it, I'm a straight rider. You don't wanna fuck with me. Got the police watching at me, but they can't do nothing to you.
On double CD, In 1996, so I would have been 15 years old. I remember I got it the weekend it opened. This was the first, or the weekend it came out. So this was the first album that I got, like, when it was released. I was so excited for it to come out. And this is the first album that I loved, like, front to back, where there, and it was a double CD, so it was just crazy that it was such a good album, like, front to back. And I listened to this a lot with my buddy Bobby, that he's my oldest friend. And so we'd definitely be cranking this with our 12-inch speakers in our $500 cars. And yeah, just brings me back every time I play it. Like, just the first track, it just brings me back to 15 years old. Like, that's just the way that one makes me feel. And I definitely enjoyed listening to it this afternoon as I was brushing up on my top five. So
I have to say, this is like both these choices are like incongruent with the music taste that we have today.
Yeah.
So I am like, this, talk about a swerve. I feel like that's what's happening here.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people, there are people that I've run to from these days, where they're like, wow, you are a different person than you used to be. I think a lot of it was tainted by the people I hung out with, where people didn't necessarily know me, but they knew my friends, and they're like, oh, Jay's that way too. But I really wasn't. I was just a follower. I never stole anything. I never did all the stuff that they did, but it was just, and so it's, but also, this is the music we listen to. This is what was cool in our group. So, yeah.
Nothing like white boys listening to gangster rap.
That's right. That was, oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
only able to sing half the songs or half the words.
I'll have to share with you a photo of me and my buddies. We were in the back seat of my dad's, or the back of my dad's truck. And two of us were wearing Orlando Magic jerseys. I was Anfernee Hardaway, and my buddy had the Shaquille O'Neal jersey. We all had bandanas on our heads like gangsters, and wearing our Jerbo jeans or whatever we were wearing, or fake Jerbo jeans, because nobody could afford them. In our Shaq Reebok pump basketball shoes.
Basketball.
Or the fake ones you got from Walmart or whatever because you couldn't afford them.
Jay, did you grow up wearing Abercrombie and Bitch clothes?
No. No.
No, okay. I mean, I had to ask.
No.
No. That was always one thing clearly, as by the name that I just called it. I always sort of made fun of those folks, but you got to remember, I came of age in the grunge era, so.
Yeah. No, I get it. No. No, I wore silver tab jeans. But I think that was just because that's what I think my sisters liked that brand, and so they knew that they made boys' jeans or whatever, so that's what I wore. Yeah. So yeah, I promise it's gonna clean up after my number four.
You don't owe us a redemption. You want to listen to Dre? You listen to Dre.
It's still gonna be really fun. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It gets a little less edgy. So that's my number four.
Less edgy. I started off with Mickey Mouse Disco and Kids Incorporated.
I know. You better.
I don't know if yours can get any edgier, Rob.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I'm not even a Disney guy, but anyhow. Right.
Everybody's Disney person at heart.
Yep. All right. You want me to roll into my number three?
Do it.
So my number three brings me back to the good old growing up in a Christian household. This was my favorite album as a kid, favorite band as a kid. I went and saw them live on numerous occasions, and this album was my favorite of theirs, and it was DC Talk, Jesus Freak.
Yes. What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find that it's true?
I listened to that album constantly. Yep. It was my go-to. It's embarrassing that I used to listen to it. I can't stand it now, but
I actually love listening to it now. It's so
young,
like,
little
cringy.
Young little me definitely really got behind that
musically
stuff.
Musically, it's actually a very beautiful album. It really is. It was very revolutionary for Christian music back then.
It was, for sure. Yeah. You know, they had a black guy in their group too. So that's, yeah, was earth shattering. So yeah, that album came out in 1995. So,
yep. So my sister owned that one. So I always got to listen to it when I wanted to, but I never got caught with it in my CD, my CD yep. portfolio by my friends.
Yeah. That was definitely, I can at least say I was pretty young at that time. So that's my only fallback.
Yep. No, I actually do like listening to, I don't listen to it front to back, but there are some songs. I don't listen to Jesus Freak. I like some of the like B-side type songs.
Yeah. It's funny. My brother I think it was my 35th birthday, maybe. I don't remember, but got me like the 30th anniversary of DC Talk Jesus Freak for my birthday. It's just a joke because it was, you know, everyone knew that was, I loved that album as a kid. So
that's a good one.
So this is really fun because like I always wondered about, you know, having been raised Irish Catholic, but you know,
ask
in my household
questions.
Irish Catholic in my household Irish Catholic, like the most religious music that we got to was Madonna's Like a Prayer that her older sister had. Very, very, very different households, I'm realizing.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, that's cool.
Yeah, if you want to know anything about 90s Christian music, let me know.
Which you don't. Which you...
I know it all.
This album that Caleb just mentioned is the only thing you need to know about 90s Christian music.
Which 90s Christian singers turned out gay?
Rich Mullins, we think. Rich Mullins was one of my favorite singers, but he.
No, what's her name? I can't.
Oh
Knapp,
yeah,
Jennifer Knapp.
Yep, Jennifer Knapp.
She's still alive.
We also had Katy Perry for a bit.
Katy Perry was Christian music.
Yeah.
Early
on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Early.
Whoa.
On. Yeah.
Elizabeth Perry.
Yeah, my very first concert I ever went to was David Meese. If you want to know how bad. My life was as a child. So
I don't even like, so like,
yeah,
that doesn't
no one knows who that is,
right? Like that just,
no one knows who that is.
That's
Jay
like
doesn't even
Mario Kart. Like
it rings a bell, but I definitely wouldn't be able to tell you what songs he sings.
Yeah.
My first concert was Jars of Clay, which is about as mainstream as Christian ever really got, I guess.
I did hear of them, but I don't think I could even tell you a song.
I can't swim after 40 days. That song. Yep. That's
The other. So, you know, song. I mentioned my mom and Simon and Garfunkel, right? And like the other cassette that she had in a car that would be like our Christian music is the Sister Act soundtrack. I will follow
good.
Him.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, the frustrating part is my parents listened to all good stuff when they were growing up. Uh-huh. And then once they had kids, they stopped listening to it and only listened to Christian music with us.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Where are they now? Like, have they returned to some of the music of their youth, or where are they now?
I think my dad has. So my dad is a big, like, Bob Seger, Led Zeppelin.
Oh, nice.
That kind of stuff.
Respectable.
My mom will occasionally, my mom really liked the Carpenters, so she'll listen to the Carpenters every now and again.
My mom was definitely into the Carpenters too, but I don't think I really know, like, Yesterday Once More, I think it's a song of the Carpenters I'm kind of vaguely remembering.
Yeah, there's a couple that I can't remember the names of them off the top of my head.
My mom had like the Carpenters Christmas, so like I almost associate that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and then my mom really liked John Denver. So my mom, you know, kind of like the slower stuff. So, but
nice, nice, cool. So that was your number three.
Three. Yep.
Okay, Rob, what's your number three?
Well, from the rhythms of Jesus Freak to the bass line of Super Freak.
Yep.
This is the first cassette that I ever purchased with my own money. I think it was allowance money / birthday money, but it's MC Hammer, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him.
Yes.
And I'm talking about, of course, You Can't Touch This.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Yes.
And the Parachute Pants and everything of that era. Yeah, that was an album that I, that was, no, sorry, hold on, not an album. That was a cassette that I bought at Kmart with my own allowance money. And I don't even remember any other song by MC Hammer, even though the album has other songs. It was just, You Can't Touch This.
Yep. Cool. That's a good one. Love me some MC Hammer.
So speaking of MC Hammer, you want to know what's really funny? When I was in like 16, I went to a big outdoor Christian music festival, and MC Hammer was one of the headlines.
Oh, really?
No way. Oh, so I guess I was listening to Christian music.
Yeah.
Well, he did have a Christian side to him.
So he
would later go on and do more Christian music and stuff, but he was one of the headlining. He was, I didn't go watch him, but I thought it was funny that he was there.
Amazing.
Nice. Cool. So that was your number three. All right, my number three. This was the first time I spent money on a piece of music. This was in 1993, so I would have been 12. And it was, I think it was on CD, but I think it was my first CD also, or it was right around there. And that was Ace of Base, The Sign. It was like top of the world. Like at the time, it was for a long while, it was the highest selling album of all time. And it
seems like a Columbia House pick.
Yeah,
it was not. No, I remember buying this at Meijer. Yep. I spent $13.99 or whatever it cost on it. And, this was the first time I really allowed myself to listen to what I liked and didn't care what, you know, the fact that I was listening to Swedish?
You remember something? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I think
Swedish white ladies sing. They were awesome. And I still love them. Like anytime it comes on, it always just makes me smile. All That She Wants. I Saw the Sign. Mm-hmm. Just loved it.
Yeah, they are Swedish siblings, Jonas, Lynn, and Jenny with Ulf Ekberg. They formed in 1987, and the album that you're referring to is from 1992, The Sign.
The Sign, yep.
Wow. My sister had that album. That was an album that she would blast in the house. My sister had the cassette, and that was a cassette that she would blast in the house while she would just pace back and forth.
Yeah.
I think this was the first album my older brother ever bought, if I remember correctly. It was either that or Boys to Men. He bought them both around the same time.
That's a good one too. Cool. Yep. So that was my number three, Ace of Base, The Sign. Caleb.
All right.
What's your number two?
So my number two, I don't remember if this was a gift. I don't remember how I got it. And I think I got it like maybe a year or two after it actually came out. But it was one of my favorite albums that I loved to listen to. And it's Weezer's Blue album. I love that. I still love this album. It's still probably my favorite Weezer album.
That's the one with Buddy Holly on it, right?
Yes. Yeah. Just an incredible album. I think it holds up to the time. I think it came out in 92, if I remember correctly.
I think it was 94 because I was a freshman in high school then.
Yeah.
94 and that was like the right. big album.
Yeah. It, oh yeah. 94. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. I remember, I mean, I listened to that so many times. Yeah. Just a killer album. So.
I did not get into, we've talked about this. I did not like Weezer when I was 13 years old. I just didn't get Weezer for whatever reason. Tupac was cooler. Yep. Or Ace of Base.
Ace of Base was cooler.
Cool. All right. So that was your number two?
Yep.
Rob, what was your number two?
All right, so again, following in chronological order, MC Hammer is 1989.
Yes, yes.
This one is 1993. If you grew up in the Metro Detroit area, you always saw commercials for asking your family to go across the border to Canada, go east into Canada toward Toronto, and see Phantom of the Opera at the glorious Pantages Theater. So I have the Phantom of the Opera soundtrack. This was cassette. And then it wasn't very long after that I had like the double CD. It was like one of the double CD sets I had. But yeah,
Katie had that.
I could. Now, what's funny is MC Hammer, I couldn't even sing all the lyrics to You Can't Touch This. Kids Incorporated, don't even remember any of the medleys or the lyrics other than what the original material is.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse Disco, I just remember the cover. But this one, you know, I can even sing the stupid songs that they cut out of the show when they moved to Vegas and they want them shorten it.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And now I've grown up to hate Andrew Lloyd Webber comparatively to other musical composers. So
that's okay.
Yeah, my number two is the Phantom of the Opera.
Cool. That's a really good one.
Was it recorded in Toronto?
No. So like,
I think that's what Katie's was.
Oh, really? So no, this would have been the
Broadway
original. Actually, it might have been the original London cast, but a lot of them was the same. Like Sarah Brightman, you know,
yeah,
moved from the West End to Broadway, and Colm Wilkinson. Maybe I feel like that's the name I'm thinking of. But I'm pretty sure it was the Broadway or London cast recordings.
Got it.
And maybe Katie had the DVD of the Toronto one. She had definitely the Toronto one. But anyway, cool. So that was your number two. All right. My number two is MC Hammer, Please Hammer Don't Hurt Him, on cassette.
Oh no.
this was my jam. I had to hold back when you brought it up, Rob, because I have my own things to say. But this was it was a birthday present. So this probably would have been when I was like 9 or 10 years old. This was probably one of my first, you know, albums that I owned. That was purchased for me. It was just like so fun to me. Like, You Can't Touch This, obviously, dancing back and forth. I actually got Hammer pants for Christmas one year. And I was, you know, you got to remember, I was 10 years old. And they were in style too. So like you had other people at school wearing them too. The other song was Pray. We got to pray just to make it today. We got to pray.
Oh,
pray,
now I'm sort of vaguely remembering this.
Pray.
We got to pray just to make it today. I said we pray. Oh, yeah, we pray. We got to pray just to make it.
Oh man. Wow.
Yeah. That was cool in my parents' book when I was listening to that. It was like, oh yeah, he's listening to a song about praying. He should pray. At least that's the way I viewed it, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that was my number two, MC Hammer, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. And I actually, secondly, was the album with Too Legit to Quit on it. I think it was, I feel like maybe the album was called that or something like that.
No, I don't remember now. And now that album title, I remember that song. Yeah,
that album was not as good though.
Too Legit to Quit.
Right.
That album was not as complete as this one, so that's why I chose this one. So anyway, that's my number two.
Nice. I love how you went from gangsta rap to MC Hammer.
Well, this is getting younger though. I didn't go in chronological order. I went by rank of favorite.
I know. Just makes me chuckle.
Yeah.
All right. So my number one, again, I didn't own this album, but my older brother did. And I have listened to this album more times than I can count. So when I was younger, my brother and I had rooms next to each other in the basement. And I had Super Nintendo in my room and my brother had Sega Genesis in his room. And we would go from room to room while he blared music from his room. So we would play Super Mario Kart in my room and then we go to his room and play Madden. And that's what we did all day. And the CD that played more than any other one was a double CD, and it was Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy, and the Infinite Sadness.
Oh, that's a good one.
I still love that album. I still think it's an incredible album, but we listened to that thing over and over. We listened to, I mean, almost all Smashing Pumpkins albums constantly, but this was one that we listened to the most. Siamese Dream was another one that we listened to a lot, but this is the one that definitely, I think, had the longest lasting impact on me. I love that album. It's a killer one. And it just, every time I hear it, I just think of me being a little kid hanging out with my big brother playing video games in each other's rooms. You know, we did that all day, every day, it seemed like. So,
I was a sophomore in high school. And so that's where, like, my next album, you're going to see where things take a turn. but for me, like, Smashing Pumpkins and like REM and Pearl Jam, like, that's when I had, like, I would say, like, adult taste, right? And so that's why it's like that music is like still my music. I mean, 1979 is still one of my favorite songs. Bullet with Butterfly Wings, right? It's still a kicker. That's a banger right there. Have you ever seen them perform live?
That's the one of the biggest regrets is I've never have. My brother got to see him a couple times. I never did. I never got to go. I always wanted to. Never happened.
Yeah, I saw them second row Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor. But this was at the time when Darcy had left and Melissa Didoff Dumour stepped in as the bassist, and I like her. She was great with her bright red hair. But yeah, Billy Corgan and the Smashing Pumpkins, man, that is amazing. Yeah, that's a great album.
Yep.
We didn't get to see them until just a couple years ago at Comerica Park, but that was awesome. Still good.
Yep.
Cool. So that was your number
uno.
Number one? Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Rob, what's your number one?
Okay. As I said, this is where things started to go wrong. If in 1989 I'm 9 years old and my first ever cassette purchase is MC Hammer, in 1994, I'm 14 years old, and my first ever CD purchase is Nine Inch Nails, The Downward Spiral.
Ooh, wow, you went further than...
Oh boy, did I do a downward spiral.
I thought you were going Nirvana. You went further.
No. I kind of just like leapt ahead right into, closer to God. And
you let me complicate you. Help me. I broke apart my insides. Help me. I've got no soul to tell. Help me. The only thing that works for me. Help me get away from myself.
Had like a hole came from Petty Hate Machine, which is that CD is one that I got from Columbia because I had to, go back and get the cool Nine Inch Nails stuff. But Trent Reznor is kind of interesting, right? Like, so he Downward Spiral, he's sort of loosely based on like David Bowie's Low, which is one of my favorite albums. David Bowie's Speed of Sound is a great song, and Pink Floyd's The Wall, which I'm not really a Pink Floyd guy, but I seem to be Pink Floyd adjacent with a lot of people in my life. But yeah, if that tells you anything about where puberty fucks you up, and it is
in middle school,
MC Hammer, to just fucking like wearing all black, and you're hanging out with the goths, and you're just doing like the Downward Spiral thing, and you've got your flannel, and you're just like, doing that 1994 Seattle grunge, Doc Martens jeans and flannel shirts, and now if I was my parent, mom or dad, I would think I might look at my 14-year-old and say, this is really aggressive music. Perhaps they're depressed. Maybe we should ask them, hey,
let's talk.
What's troubling you, son? Yeah. No, didn't get that. Had to figure
That's
it all out.
That's not the Catholic way, man.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're just left to figure it all out on your own. But that's just how it is. So, yeah, my number one is Nine Inch Nails, The Downward Spiral, the first ever CD purchase I ever made on my own at, I believe it was a Sam Goody in the mall.
Ooh, yeah.
One of those things that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
I think the way that Nine Inch Nails hit you, Rob, is the way that Gangster Rap hit me. That was my way to vent the feelings I was having during junior high and, going into high school.
Well, and it's also much based on who we are with, I mean, like you said, it was the music your friends were listening to. Rob, it's the friends.
I didn't have friends, and I still don't. No, I'm teasing. No. This was just one that I would hear, I would listen to in high school.
You said you hung out with the goths. You didn't hang out with
them. Well, later. I mean, it really wasn't goths. It was like small town goths, right? So, girls who didn't know how to properly put on makeup and boys who were probably effeminate. AKA theater kids. Nine Inch Nails was one that I kind of came upon because growing up I would listen to 96.3 FM Detroit, which was called Planet 96.3, and it was like all 80s and 90s, and that is where I would hear like all the great songs of the 80s, like Erasure and Duran Duran, but then it would be Smashing Pumpkins, and it would be Weezer and Nine Inch Nails, and and then eventually, like in the late 90s, that's when everything started becoming like very Lilith-fared. Then everyone started doing Sarah McLachlan Building a Mystery and all that other shit. So but it's a lot of depressing music. Definitely in 1995, one of my honorable mentions would be like Nirvana Unplugged, right?
So
I did get there, but like the Unplugged album. But you have to remember, he died in October of 93. So I was 13 going on 14, and anyways, so
just
I
kind of
had to
right
discover
time.
This for myself a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I love about music. It just hits people differently at different times in their life.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
All right, so that was your number one. My number one was at the same time as MC Hammer in 1990, and this was Vanilla Ice, To the Extreme.
If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it.
Ice, ice, baby.
Again, a bass line that is not his own. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I know it.
Borrowing
I didn't
from
know
Queen.
That. I didn't know that. It was amazing. I still love hearing it. I love both, you know, I love Under Pressure and I love Ice Ice Baby. Not equally. I probably like the Queen one more. But this album, the way it hit me, the way I, how many times I played it, you know, it had Play That Funky Music as on the B-side. It was just a fun album, and I don't know why I related to it, but it did. I think it was because a lot of people liked it, and I liked that it made me feel good listening to it. So it was just
so this white boy rapper was like your gateway to Dre.
It really was. Yeah. So, yep, that's my number one. Vanilla Ice.
Did you ever become an Eminem fan?
You know, Eminem was a little Eminem. I did not get Eminem seemed a little too ragey for me. I liked the laid back gangster rap. You know, the you know, I'm too cool for school sort of gangster
like the,
rap.
The California, the
exactly.
California chronic kind of
yeah.
Not the world sucks and you know everyone's stupid. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's my brand. Yep, so that's my number one. Do we want to hit on honorable mentions?
Caleb, you should take it away. This is your category,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, sure. So I had Siamese Dream on there as an honorable mention. Again, meant a lot. Dookie was another one.
That was another one I loved in high school.
Yeah,
Dookie's that didn't make great. It on my list just because like my mom would not let us own that album. But we listened to every song that was on the radio and listened to it when friends had it. But yeah, Green Day was definitely a bigger one growing up. So those are the only two that I threw on there.
Cool.
Yeah. So Rob. I think what this is kind of interesting is like how rap music, I kind of didn't come upon, even though I was listening to the radio, right? FM radio for a lot of things. But also when I look at like 1993, 1994, 1995, you know, this is now when I'm, you know, leaving middle school, entering high school. And this is when 93, it's like REM's Automatic for the People, 1994, Pearl Jam, Vitalogy, 1994, Nirvana Unplugged, 1995, you know, Smashing Pumpkins or like Hole lived through this. I that was my ragey music was Courtney Love, right?
Yep.
Like all of that music, with the exception of Courtney Love, like those albums, you know, the Pumpkins, Pearl Jam, Live Throwing Copper is a great album with the song Lightning Crashes, right?
Yeah.
Those are all songs that like hit me right as I'm starting high school, carried me through high school.
Yeah.
And they're songs that like I still love, and I haven't listened to them in a while, but every so often I will pull some of them out, and I just love those. So those are not necessarily music that I listened to as a kid because it wasn't really kid music,
right?
But they're like solid albums of a generation that I still thoroughly enjoy.
Yeah, I would totally agree with all of those. I mean, I knew all those albums as well. I didn't own them. They weren't my favorite, but yeah, it's just everybody catches on to something, right? Yeah. You know?
And like Green Day, Dookie was, that was a Christmas gift that I asked for them to give me a CD of. And the other one that I will say kind of, I still think is kind of sexy. And I think it just sort of hit something in me in my sexuality as you're developing as a teenager. The Red Hot Chili Peppers, Blood Sugar Sex.
Oh, yeah.
Blood Sex Magic. Blood. Oh, yeah. Crap. Now I can't remember it now.
That's a good album.
I'm getting old. Jesus Christ. but yeah, like that album, like Under the Bridge. I mean, again, these are just great songs. And so, yeah, Blood Sugar Magic, Sex Blood Magic.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was just, I mean, that was a great era to kind of come of age and to just like find music, because that is music that I actually really haven't gone back and listened to in quite some time. And now tonight I feel like I'm probably going to throw on
Green. I tell you, you know, going through mine, it was enjoyable. Like, because it brings you back to the first time you heard it, you know, if you let it, and it's cool.
My rotating on my, in my car is 90s alternative radio. I just love listening to 90s alternative radio.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. All right, what are your honorable mentions?
I've got a few. I had Jars of Clay, Much Afraid. I had Rex in Effect, Rump Shaker. I had Coolio, Gangsta's Paradise. Wyclef Jean. He had a solo album called The Carnival. Green Day, Dookie. Snoop Doggy Dogg, Doggy Style, Bone Thugs and Harmony, East 1990 Eternal, Britney Spears, Baby One More Time, and No Doubt, Tragic Kingdom.
Oh, I knew you. After you talked about that for the karaoke songs, I was waiting for you to say No Doubt. I'm kind of surprised it wasn't in your top five.
Yeah. The other one that I have, and I reluctantly put it on my list, but we have to accept our paths. And that's
I said that I have Mickey Mouse Disco on vinyl. Yeah.
Okay. No, this is the other end. This is the other end. Puff Daddy and the Family, No Way Out. But he was cool back then. That's what we were telling.
Is that the one that? Is that the one that steals the bass line from Every Breath You Take?
I think I'll be
missing you.
Yeah, right? I think that's on there.
I mean, you know, like at that time, that song was everywhere. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. We wouldn't have been fans of him if we thought he was that way. Even though I guess he sang about it in all the songs. But you think it's all like jokingly, right? I mean, that's like when you're listening to like Dr. Dre, like he's not going out and killing people, is he? I don't know. I guess I didn't think he was. I thought they just sang about it. But anyway,
you mean to tell me that Will Smith got jiggy with it?
Exactly.
He welcomed me to the Wild Wild West.
That's right. Well, that was a fun one, guys. So this one was Rob's, and last week it was
Caleb's.
It was Caleb's.
This week was Caleb's. Last week was Rob's. I got that backwards in my brain.
Oh.
So next week it's mine, right?
Yes, and
but we were going to be taking potentially a couple weeks off with Rob gone.
Or you can continue on without me and bring on some special guest.
Well, I mean, next week is going to be busy for me anyway because we're going to be out in Grand Haven. So I think naturally next week we could take a week off. Plus, it'll just give me some more time to edit this one because it just has a little bit more work in it with the music clips. But then the following week, Rob is taking off too. And that's the first Monday in August, right?
Yeah. We'll find up a topic. We'll send it on the way. The people listening don't need to hear us kind of plotting the Zoom meeting portion of when's the next meeting. So. Anyways, I say we call it a good night. I say we had some really good times going back into the Wayback Machine. And
Wayback Machine.
Hey, for some of us, it was the Wayback Machine, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll be curious to see if other people, what albums they loved as a child. And I would say anything before 14. I'm really curious to know, like...
Oh yeah,
the really embarrassing albums that you had that you just thought was the coolest, you know.
I'm trying to think of one that would be embarrassing for me. Oh, so this goes to the Christian music part. Is that we had this, and this is one that I share with Caleb's wife, Tori. Is the Salty songbooks, and it was just these Christian songs that you sang in Sunday school, and. Tori actually knows them by heart and she'll sing them to me. But anyway, that was one that's embarrassing. So if anybody else has any like that, we'd love to hear them. We want to hear embarrassing songs and albums from our childhoods. So cool, guys. Well, let's cut it off there, and we'll see you next time.
Until next time.
Bye, everybody.
For listening to the High Five Podcast. We'd love to hear what your high fives would be or what you thought of ours. You can find us on Facebook or email us at thehighfivepodcast@gmail.com, or just say hi if you know us in real life. And a big thank you to our friend Trevor Durheimer for the awesome intro and outro music. See you next time.